I ain't the class. Y'all are the class. There could be anybody up here doing what I do. I believe any one of y'all can get up and do what I'm doing. All you got to do is do what the book says.
Yeah.
And you ain't got no problem. Okay, anybody got a question you want to deal with this morning? All right. Everybody have to hold your peace. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. You know, there seems to be a controversy, and it kind of excites me when somebody before class or something will say something about what I've been thinking about doing in the class. Years ago, I used to go to Fairhope, and we'd be discussing things on the way to the class over there in Fairhope. And when I'd get over there, or we'd get over there, E.C. Moore was teaching the class, and I'd be John Brands. He wouldn't handle the situation that we was talking about on the way over there. And I had, y'all remember Ron Farr? He used to go with me some over there, and he would ask me several times, said, "Did you talk to Brother Moore about this that we was talking about on the way over in?" I said, "I ain't spoke to Brother Moore, just waved at him when I went into class and sat down." And it astonishes me, and it bothers me about the teachings that's going on in the world today about who to follow. People do not know who their apostle is, and they do not know who to follow. We get accused of following a man too much and not following Jesus. And 2 weeks ago, we started a class on following Jesus. We wasn't going to follow Paul. Well, we found out I did, and you should have, if you were here, that you can't follow Jesus in his earthly ministry. Now, let's just eliminate some people by what the Bible says this morning. In John chapter 1, look at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Well, was John sent by God? Who was he sent to? Let's see if we can find out why John was sent. We'll just say right here is John. And he's commonly known as John the Baptist. Okay, because he's baptized. Baptist ain't his last name. Go to Luke chapter 1 and Acts chapter 13. Luke chapter 1 and Acts chapter 13. And I shared this verse in Acts 13 verbally with a so-called grace preacher several years ago. And he said, you know, that's a good way to put it. And I'm going to show you what I told him. And this is supposed to be a grace preacher now. Do y'all think a grace preacher ought to know who he's supposed to follow?
Yeah, of course.
How can he be a grace preacher if he don't know who to follow?
Yeah, he can't.
He can call himself whatever he wants to, but he ain't no grace preacher. Now, in Luke chapter 1, look at verse, it's hard to break into the context. The context is about the birth of John the Baptist and Jesus Christ being conceived and all. Now, let's go to verse 41. Now, Zacharias is John's daddy, and Zacharias is in the office of the priesthood, and while he's in there, the Lord appears unto him and tells him he's going to have a son and to call his name John. Now, verse 41, it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, in other words, that Mary and Elizabeth's a cousin, and Mary told Elizabeth about Jesus Christ, that the angel had appeared to her and told her that she was going to have a son, going to call his name Jesus. Now, verse 41, it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. So I know this is John the Baptist. Come over to verse Go to verse 67. I apologize. Let's back up. Go to verse 57. Let's go back to verse 57. Now, I may skip around a little bit, but not to pull the wool over your eyes, but just to get on what we got to do this morning. Now, verse 57. Now, Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how that the Lord showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. Now, why would they want to do this on the eighth day?
No.
They are still under the law. You understand? Listen to me. Anybody that's preaching out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are still under the law. The law is not done away with. When Jesus Christ was 8 days old, they circumcised him because of the law given to Israel back here in Leviticus. And in Abraham, God told Abraham, those that are 8 days old to circumcise. Every man child, you understand? Now, that's what's going on here. Now, watch what happens. Verse 59, it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called his name Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father. In other words, his father's been made deaf, and he can't talk. His tongue is about like mine. Sometimes my tongue gets wrapped around my teeth. I can't talk. But Zacharias had the power of the Holy Spirit come on him, and he couldn't talk until after this child was born. And I suspect if he'd have went along with the child being named Zacharias after himself, he never would have talked again. The angel done told him, your tongue will be loosed. After that, he's named John. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 63. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John, and they marveled all, and his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. Now, for time's sake, verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Nothing to do with the church, the body of Christ. You understand? The church, the body of Christ is not in the book of Luke. It is not in the book of Matthew. It is not in the book of Mark. It is not in the book of John, per se. You understand? God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, John the Baptist is a forerunner of Jesus Christ. He's to bear witness of this light that has come into the world. And his name is John. Now, go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Paul is standing in the synagogue and he's talking to some people, and he gives Israel's history up to this point right here when John the Baptist is born. Now watch what he says. Verse 22. And when he had removed him, now he's talking about King Saul that they asked for back here. They had told Samuel, make us a king. We want to be like everybody else in the world. And I suspect that's the way some of our grace churches are going this day. They won't be like everybody else. Won't have a steeple on the building. All that. Won't have deacons. Won't have parking lot attendants. All this kind of stuff. All this fancy stuff that the world's after. We don't need it. Got a good place. Good cool place to meet in the summer. And a good warm place to meet in the winter. Out of the rain. Out of the elements. Don't cost us anything. Anytime this business comes across your mind, pray for them. Because if they don't keep them doors open, we may not be able to meet here. Do you understand? Now, watch what happens here. Verse 22. And when he had removed him, that's King Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, when John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people. Is that what it said?
Yes.
What, did I forget something here?
Of course.
Well, wait a minute now. If we're going to follow John, we got to leave off of Israel, ain't we?
No.
Was John sent to Israel?
Yes.
No problem with that, have we? Go to Matthew chapter 10. Y'all know the verse? Matthew chapter 10. Verse 5. He's named the 12 apostles. Now verse 5, Matthew 10 verse 5. So I don't believe that John the Baptist is our example. You understand? You know why I'm saying that so plainly? Where you can understand it? Because most churches believe in following the baptism that John started. You understand?
That's right.
Don't tell me water baptism ain't important to people. It jolly well is. You going to meet somebody that's just been baptized and tell them, well, you just wasted your time and all you did is got you and your clothes wet. Y'all heard me tell the story about Preston Holloway. I picked him up one day and we was headed to Pineview Bible Camp. We was listening to a preacher on the radio. He'd been down to Padre Island on Texas doing spring break. He was out there on that island preaching to them wayward teenagers out there. He said to baptize some of them. He said, I just hope that I got them deep enough in the water to cover all their body. In other words, if part of their nose was sticking out, that baptism, it just didn't take. You're going to have to do it again. No. Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize. Now listen to me. When you study Romans to Philemon, our apostle, who is our example, in Romans to Philemon, there's one thing you got to keep in mind. When you study Romans to Philemon, if you fail to rightly divide the word of truth, you're going to get in trouble. And you will not be in the will of God. You'll be out of the will of God. So that tells me something. Because of some of the teachings that's going on in Acts chapter 19, they say Paul baptized some people. I don't believe that. Paul went in the temple in Acts chapter 18, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, get out of there. They'll not receive your word concerning me. I'm going to send you four hints to these Gentiles over here, people such as us, that had no hope, no way to get to God. In Acts 18, I suspect that that's before Acts 19, ain't it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think 18 still comes before 19, regardless of how they messing up in schools today? Hmm. Well, if Paul was sent in Acts 18 not to baptize, and he baptized those people in Acts 19, wouldn't you think he'd be out of the will of God? Well, wouldn't you think when he got over there to 2 Timothy chapter 4, when he said, I have kept the faith, don't you think he'd be lying? I do. I believe he'd be lying. When Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, he said, I thank God I didn't baptize none. You know what that's telling me? He didn't follow John the Baptist's lead. You understand? Now in chapter 10, verse 5, these 12, Jesus sent forth and commanded them. He didn't suggest. He didn't say, well, maybe you ought not to go over yonder. You ought to do this. He commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles. any city of Samaritan and India is not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven will be on this earth someday. God's going to bring it down here with him when he comes back. You understand? Kingdom of heaven. Peter and them are not in heaven today, and they ain't going to be in heaven. They are not heavenly people. They are earthly people.
Amen.
You understand? They're going to be a kingdom of priests and a royal priesthood. They followed John the Baptist here. Jesus Christ told them in Matthew chapter 5 verse 20, if you care to look at it, he said, if except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know what the Pharisees did in Luke 7? They rejected the counsel of God, being not baptized of John the Baptist here. They rejected that. Beloved, if you follow John the Baptist, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus, John the Baptist is preparing the way for the Lord. The Lord told them people, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He didn't tell us that. He told Israel that. Now watch what he says here. Verse 6, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. You know, you'd think somebody would look at these idiots on TV, and that's, I don't mind calling them idiots, because that's what they are. They're henchmen for the devil. They're the devil's disciples. They're the devil's angels. And y'all know what Matthew 25 says? Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. People that's preaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John today are working for Satan. They're not working for the Lord. So, we got 12 apostles named here in Matthew 10. Which one of them you going to follow? You ain't going to follow one of them?
No.
Well, now, wait a minute. We're going to have a problem here this morning. Me and you are at odds. Y'all believe this book means what it says?
Yes.
Go to John 13. Go to John chapter 13. Did Jesus Christ send the 12 out?
Yes, he did.
He sure did. Did God Almighty send John the Baptist?
Yes.
A man sent from God, yes, whose name was John. Well, I know what John's ministry was. It was to prepare the way for the Lord. And if you'll study very closely, if you're taking notes, Matthew 11 and Matthew 17, when John the Baptist was preaching to those people, Jesus Christ taking some men up, and they on the Mount of Transfiguration, it's called, and the Lord Jesus Christ was transfigured before their eyes, and they saw Moses and Elijah. They didn't see Moses and Enoch. Y'all know where Ebenezer Baptist Church is? Here in Mobile?
Yes.
Demetropolis. I won't say Duval, but it's a colored church. Mm-hmm. We had a man that come to our class. I used to pick him up. Eugene Ward. Very learned. He was awkward. He was backward. He's been here. He used to go to Ebenezer. He lived there, and he'd walk up there some Sundays. And I was preaching one night in Russell's home, had a class over there. And I said something about Moses and Elijah going to heaven. He said, Moses and Enoch. And I stopped him and said, where'd you get that from? He said, that's what the preacher preaches at Ebenezer Baptist Church. If you go to the book of Revelation, in chapter 11, find those two witnesses that God's going to send over here. He identifies them, how you can recognize them. And you go back in the Old Testament back here, and you can recognize these two witnesses over here that's going to come. And them two witnesses can't come while we're here. God got to get us out of the way.
Amen.
You understand?
Yes,
see, this dispensation of back here that Jesus Christ was involved in lasted approximately 3.5 years. Jesus Christ, when he was 30 years old, was baptized of John. Can you show me anywhere in a 1611 King James Bible where John the Baptist was ever baptized in water? You know what John the Baptist told Jesus Christ when he came to be baptized of him in the River Jordan? He said, I have need to be baptized of thee. Doesn't ever say that he got baptized. Do you know why Jesus Christ was baptized in water? To fulfill all righteousness. Matthew chapter 3. Jesus Christ told John the Baptist, suffer it to be so, for it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. That's why he said in chapter 5 verse 20, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees, you'll not enter into the kingdom. What about us? Do people put emphasis on water baptism?
Yes, sir.
Do they go to the Baptist colleges? What do they teach them in there? That God said, don't baptize with water. I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. No. They don't teach them that. They teach them how to baptize people. Yep. What to say. No. Now, you're in John 13. Look at verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, well, let's just say that's us. Let's just say he's talking to us. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Was Jesus Christ sent by God?
Yes.
Where was he sent to?
Yes.
Go to... We don't need to turn to Matthew 15, do we? Matthew 15, he's dealing with a Syrophoenician woman. He tells her some things. It's not right to take the children's bread, which is the gospel of the kingdom. Test it to dogs. Now, he said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. John the Baptist was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Luke 19. Jesus Christ makes a statement. I'm come to seek and to save that which is lost. Well, now listen. If I didn't have Romans to Philemon, you know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to make myself a Jew somehow, though, to get into those promises. You understand? Well, Paul, he told us not to worry about genealogies. You know why? God Almighty in Romans chapter 3, he's concluded the Jew and the Gentile in unbelief. He's concluded them all in sin, that he might have mercy on all of them. So, we can't follow John the Baptist. I can't follow Jesus Christ. Let me show you why you can't follow Jesus Christ. Now, go to Luke chapter 6. Y'all know the verse. Now you see, if we don't understand our Bible, you can see how easy it is to get tripped up and tricked. Like the Luke 4:18 group are being done today, and they're not by themselves. Fred Wolf, the ex-Baptist, I don't know what he calls himself now. I've never heard him say it. He used to be at Dolphin Way Baptist Church years ago.
Cottage Hill,
person. Sir?
Cottage Hill.
Cottage Hill, what did I say?
Dolphin Way.
Oh, I'm sorry. Cottage Hill. Y'all know no pay no attention to me, just check it out.
They're about the same.
I remember years ago, before 1951. I was at Forest Park Bible Church before Brother Roy Lange came there. I lived right across the road from him. Sometimes I was barefooted. Sometimes my teacher would turn her back and me and her son would jump out the window and run. Of course, we knew we was going to get in trouble, but we'd do it anyhow. You know how young ones are. We had a preacher there named Hall, Mr. Hall, redheaded fellow. I met his grandpa. He was from up north. His grandpa came down here in a terraplane. Y'all know what? Ain't no airplane. It's a car. A Hudson terraplane. First one and last one I ever saw. Never seen another. That man preached Paul's gospel. You understand? Preached the gospel of Christ. But you know what he added to it? All this stuff back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This stuff over here, Hebrews through Revelation. And beloved, they're still hauling Hebrews into this gospel here, still down at that same church right now. Got a man down there teaching that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews to the church of the body of Christ. That's bad.
Yeah.
That's wrong. Why would you want to be involved in it? God told you to come out from among them, be you separate. Touch not the unclean thing. He ain't talking about some dead animal side of the road. He's talking about the gospel that Satan's putting on people today. Taking this gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and trying to use it over here. Why, you wonder why people don't know who their apostle is? It ain't no wonder. Just listen to them. But little old group like us try to show people the truth, and they'll say, well, show me your credentials. My pastor's got a wall full of credentials where he's been to this college and this seminary, this program, all over the world. Been all over overseas getting educated. You know what they say, don't you? Go to school and dummy up. You want to get an education from God Almighty? Get you a good 1611 King James Bible and believe it means what it says. As it says it, where it says it, and to whom he's talking to. You see, I know Jesus Christ and John the Baptist were sent to the same people. I know the 12 that Jesus Christ sent forth to the same people. I know Jesus Christ said in John 13, whosoever receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me and him that sent me. Well, Jesus Christ was sent by God to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and I ain't the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I can't claim that. I don't need to make you sheep. I need to leave you alone. I need to show you the truth. What is the truth? That Jesus Christ died for you, paid for your sins. And by putting your faith in what Christ did at Calvary, you can have eternal life. And if you don't believe that for your salvation, you can just die and go on to hell. That's your business. That's your prerogative. You have to make the choice. God provided the sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, for you. If you receive it, He'll save you. Seal you till the day of redemption. Change your vile body. If you don't believe you live in a vile body, just get up in the morning and try to straighten up. You hear them bones popping and cracking and snapping and all. Yeah, we live in a vile body, and you can't change it. Now you can take care of it, or you can abuse it. Abuse it, you may die before your time. Take care of it, maybe the Lord will let you live a little while. But who in the dickens wants to live too long? I think about my grandma told my mom, said, Dot, don't live to get old. And she was 95 years old when she said that. Don't live to get old. Well, if you do, there ain't nothing you can do about it. You can't stop it. Or you can commit suicide if you wanted to. But you can't just up and die like Jesus Christ did. When he's hanging on Calvary, he just gave up the ghost and died. But I got good news for you. When God raised him from the dead, he renewed the Holy Spirit in him, and he poured out that Holy Spirit on us that believe by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, if you're not saved, you don't have that spirit. And if you don't have that spirit, boy, this is what bothers me, even about some of our grace people. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you can't understand the things of God, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? They're spiritually discerned. In other words, if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, God won't give you any discernment in His book, in His words here. Or you can memorize verses, quote verses, and all that, but you won't know the deep things of Almighty God. Why? Because the Spirit reveals them to you. So be careful what you do and what you say that God said. God don't like people saying, I said this. And when I see Richard Robertson, that dumb bunch, I get so mad. I do. I get terribly upset. We get a letter to it from St. Jude, and it just tears my heart up when I see them little babies. And you know what? That's somebody's child. That's somebody's child. It could be mine and yours. Or somebody close to you. It could be their child. And then you got these crooks doing what they're doing for money. Saying I can heal you. They can't heal nothing, beloved. I know I got in trouble with my brother-in-law's been dead 20 years almost now. Years ago, there was a man come down there to get his transmission worked on, and he worked out at Scott out there, and he was a little bit wacky anyhow, about like the rest of us out there. And I asked him, I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Atlanta. I said, what you going to Atlanta for? Oh, he said, I'm going up there to see his name, just, I'm having a senior moment here right now. Not Jesse, the planner, but the one that does the healing.
Benny Hinn.
Yeah, that's Benny Hinn. And I said something to him. I said, you going to see that idiot? Boy, that boy, he got mad. He used to ride a motorcycle to work. You may remember him. When he come in the parking lot, his radio would be wide open. You could hear it all over town. Well, I got in an argument with him about Benny Hinn not able to heal people. And Danny finally got through with him. Danny said, Danny, when I did that, he's one of my good customers. I said, I can't help that. Good customer or not, I said, he's going up down to see a crook. That's all he's doing. Well, anyway, we got through all that. Luke 6:46. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Now listen to me. Draw the line right now. Draw your line right now. Are the people that claim to be following Jesus Christ, are they doing what God said?
No.
You know one thing they ain't doing that's the most important? Go back to John. Go back to John, chapter 14. Verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Now, we're going to say that's us again now. Unto you, unto me. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Y'all believe that Jesus Christ sent some people out and told them they could do greater works than he did?
Yes.
Go to Matthew chapter 9. Hold John. Go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 35. Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Did he heal some of them?
No.
He healed all of them, didn't he? Anybody that had the power to follow Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry had the power to do greater works than what Jesus Christ did. They have the power to lay down their life. Go to chapter 16. Matthew 16. Now there's something greater that they've misunderstood also. And I'm going to show you that in the book of John in just a minute. Matthew 16. Verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. He's talking about when they go into the tribulation over here. The 7-year time of Jacob's trouble. It's tribulation time. He taught them about it in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and other places. He that takes the mark of the beast will save his physical life over here. And if you are over here, you can't buy nor sell food and nothing for your family unless you take this mark of the name of the beast. You understand? If they do, they'll save their physical life, but they'll lose their eternal life. Now watch what he says here. Matthew 16, 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. In other words, he loses his eternal life. Now, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. In other words, if they resist the mark of the beast, refuse to take it, they're going to die. But they will be resurrected to go into the kingdom. You understand? They'll save their spiritual life. Which one had you rather have? I didn't hear some of y'all. Y'all, do y'all want to continue in these old vile bodies that's dying every day?
No.
That's getting sick? No, I want my eternal body. Do you know when my eternal life started? What does eternal mean? Got no beginning and got no end. You ever thought about your eternal life? It's eternal time past, eternal future. Jesus Christ has no beginning and no end, and I'm baptized into Jesus Christ. I'm a member of his body, of his flesh, and his bone. And that was eternal. Second Timothy chapter 1, our eternal life is in Christ. Colossians chapter 3, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. Beloved, I was back there before the foundation of the world, and there ain't no beginning and end to my eternal life. I've got eternal life in Christ, and I had it when I was born. Based on God's foreknowledge, knowing that I would trust Christ as my Savior, believing that he died for my sins, and that's the only thing that he was required of me. Not by works of righteousness, which we've done. Was Peter sent by God?
Yes.
By the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Well, why in the world, if we're to follow Peter, why in the world did Peter go in Acts 10 to Cornelius, an Italian, and tell him that it's unlawful for me to come into this house and keep company with another? You know, you would think the scholars that go to seminars would figure out, Peter, why'd you tell Cornelius that? Y'all know why he told Cornelius it's not right to go to the Gentile? Jesus Christ commanded him, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles. And if God Almighty hadn't let that sheep down, Peter still wouldn't have went into Cornelius. Peter wouldn't come in this assembly here. Peter wouldn't blink his eyes and waste his time on us. Now, watch what he says here. Matthew 16, verse 25. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, that second coming, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. In chapter 17, they go up to the Mount of Transfiguration. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 2. Old John. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Remember what you just read. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's start in verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a lively stone, disallowed of, indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Who did Jesus Christ come to? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. And you can match that to Romans chapter 15, verse 8. Paul verifies that fact. Romans 15, verse 8. Now, go to chapter 2, verse 21. Remembering what you just read now. Back then in Matthew 16. For verse 21, 1 Peter 2, 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Beloved, where was his steps led to? To death. Jesus Christ went to Calvary. He told them in Matthew 16, you that save your life shall lose it. You that lose your life here shall save you eternal life. So there, he's their example that he went to Calvary and died, but God resurrected him. So they knew in the tribulation, they didn't know nothing about Romans to Philemon. In the tribulation, they could die and they knew that they'd be resurrected. Jesus Christ is their example. Go to Philippians. Old John, go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Now, beloved, I believe God means what he says. You get out of line with the word of God, I'm going to mark you. You understand? You may be in the church, the body of Christ, but I'm still going to mark you. That's what God told me to do. Watch what he says in Philippians 3:17. Brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk, so you have us for an example. Who's our example? Paul is. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And I challenge you. I dare you. You know that, and I'm going to say it like this. When I was a kid, somebody could dare you. Well, it didn't mean too much. But if they say, I double dare you, beloved, you better get on doing what the dare was. I double dare you.
What about double dog
there? Well, that's the final list. Yeah. I double dog dare you. Knock this chip off of my shoulder. Cross this line right here. I dare you to study how Paul followed Christ. You know what Jesus Christ told Paul when he met him on the road to Damascus? He said, Paul, why persecutest thou me? Do you think Paul was following Jesus Christ in his training in his earthly ministry?
No.
Ain't no way. ain't no, well, who is our example?
Paul.
Well, you know what my example told me? Let's go back to Timothy, or go to Timothy, and let's see what my apostle told me in Timothy. Did Jesus Christ tell them people that they had to die?
Yes.
2 Timothy, I didn't tell you which Timothy to go to. 2 Timothy chapter 1, let's look at something. Did he tell them in Matthew 16 that you're going to have to die to get into eternal life?
Yes.
Well, I know what that is. Now, Paul being my example, he's going to show me some truth about that right here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Now that's the testimony that he gave to Paul, Romans to Philemon. And I believe he gave it to him two different times, this testimony. Acts 9, when he appeared to him on the road to Damascus, he saved Saul and sent him to those who first trusted in Christ. Their salvation is hid in the Scriptures. In Acts chapter 18, he appeared to Paul. And by the way, when he appeared to the man in Acts 9, his name is Saul. Acts 13, verse 9, he changed the name to Paul because Paul's the apostle to the Gentiles, not the Jews. Peter is the apostle to the circumcision. You understand? Not to the uncircumcision. Paul is. So in Acts 18, the Lord appeared to him in the temple and sent him to people such as us that were not in the covenants of promise, and we got people that will not believe that. And of the twain, these two groups of people, he made one new man. And you can find that man prophesied in Psalms 102:18 and in Psalms 139, if you dare to study it. It's there. It's prophesied about. Nobody knew nothing about that fellow until it was revealed to Paul. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner. Why did Paul become a prisoner?
For us.
Because in Acts chapter 22, he told them religious leaders that God said, get out of Jerusalem, I'm going to send you far hence to these Gentiles. And they said, away with you, it ain't fit that you should live. You know why? They couldn't find this in the Old Testament Scriptures nowhere. Now they can find those who first trusted back here. Some of them was comfortable with that. Because in Acts 20, he said, I'm going to Jerusalem, and they wanted him to stay there. But when he got over there and talked to them people after he'd been in the temple in Acts 18 and told them about these Gentiles over here, and he's talking to them in the Hebrew tongue, and he used the word Hebrew, a Gentile in the Hebrew language, and they said, it ain't fit, you should live. And they went about to kill him. So Paul became a prisoner from then on, and he said, I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith. Now, watch what he does here, verse 9. Who, a reference to Jesus Christ, who has saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Wherever the world began before, I was already there, beloved. Like I said, eternity, time past, eternity, future, has no beginning, has no ending. You go back there and study about Melchizedek in Genesis 14 and then Hebrews 5, 6, and 7. He has no mother, no father, no beginning of days or end of life. He's eternal. I'm eternal in Christ, not in this rotten flesh that I'm in. Lord forbid that I should live eternally in a rotten, filthy body. Mm. You know why? I got a problem. I got two natures in me. And they are fighting and struggling every day. That's why Galatians said, the flesh lusts against the spirit, spirit against the flesh. They are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would.
Amen.
Sometimes when you want to come to class, you don't feel like coming. You know why? The flesh said, you're going to do the same old thing they did last week anyway. Why go? They don't sing. They don't They don't hug each other's neck and pat each other on the back and all that. They're just so boring. All they do is flip through the pages, and my Bible's wearing out. I'm going to have to buy a new one. That's just an excuse. You know, when I taught them teenagers down at Forest Park, I'd get tickled out of them. I knew where some of them had been. They'd been to the beach sunbathing. They'd come back next Sunday. I say, I sure missed you. And they said, well, I shut your mouth. I don't give a flip where you's at. If you's at the movie, home in bed, or at the beach swimming, I just said I missed you. And I do. I miss y'all, and I don't give a flip where you've been. That's your business. But when you're not in class, I do miss you. I do miss you. Now, watch what he does in verse 10. Very close attention. Very opposite of what he told them apostles in Matthew 16. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Well, did he abolish death for Peter, James, and John and them? No, he did not. But has he abolished death for the church, the body of Christ? I can't die. Now I may have to go to sleep in Christ, but I can't die. I've already died at Calvary. That's why Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know what Paul said after that? I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ died in vain. If you could be saved by keeping the law, cleaning up your act, don't do this, don't do that, don't eat this, don't drink that, all the stuff that man says you need to stop doing, then Jesus Christ did not have to die. You know why? Romans 8:2 says, in what the law could not do, and then it was weak through the flesh. Paul said, the good that I would, I do not. But the evil that I would not, that I do. But you know what he said? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of Christ. What did you put in your mind the other day? You know, I walk every morning. A lot of times I make two rounds, three roads where I live. I'm listening to tapes. And this old SAR tape player I got, the reverse don't work on it no more. And I went, I'm going to buy me a new one. They don't sell them no more. Can't find the thing. So the only earpiece that works on my old tape player is the one that my ear ain't worth a flip. And I'll be walking along there listening, and all of a sudden what did that man just say? My mind, I don't even know what my mind's doing. Y'all don't have that problem, do you? I'll be on my front porch reading and studying, and all of a sudden I say, well, how'd I get to this verse? I don't remember reading that verse. Y'all don't do that, do you?
Yes.
I'll be reading and don't even hear myself. Now, when I'm preaching to y'all, I'm preaching, you know, it's like this here, pointing at y'all, and I got three pointing back at me. I'm teaching myself also. I do. I teach myself a whole lot of times when I'm teaching the class. And repetition is good for me. Over and over and over. So if we repeat things every now and then, maybe it ain't for your cause, maybe it's for my cause. You understand? My time's up this morning. I'm going to let you go about a minute or two early here. I appreciate you being here. We ain't through with this. We'll